You are listening to the 2022 Air and Space Power Conference, brought to you by the Royal Australian Air Force's Air and Space Power Centre. In this presentation, Dr. Melrose Brown contributes with their discussion on photometric state estimation for low Earth orbit space domain awareness. We join the presentation as it is introduced to the conference attendees.
Good afternoon, everyone. As David said, my name is Melrose, and I'm a senior lecturer at UNSW Canberra Space. The work I'll be presenting today focuses on behavior characterization of objects orbiting Earth using data we collect from our optical telescopes and combining that with various modeling and simulation tools. I'd like to start by acknowledging the US Air Force Office of Scientific Research, who has funded a good chunk of this research, and they've actually funded quite a few of our fundamental space domain awareness streams. So Sam did a really good job there of actually introducing who our group is and what we do, but I'll maybe just have another recap of that. In 2014, UNSW Canberra Space was formed by Professor Russell Boyce, and since that time we've flown four missions comprising five satellites. And all of those missions have been in partnership with Australian Defence one way or another. So our very first mission was the Buccaneer Risk Mitigation Mission with Defence Science and Technology Group. David knows this mission very well. He headed up the DSTG effort there. That mission really kicked off our efforts to close the loop between using our own space-based assets as validation and truth source for our ground-based space domain awareness sensors. That approach of using our own satellites in orbit as a validation source for our SDA research has continued through our subsequent missions. So in 2017, we had a program of research and development and education with the Royal Australian Air Force, which kicked off our M series of missions. So we had M1, M2 Pathfinder, and finally M2 that we launched about a year ago. So M2 is the latest, best, and biggest of the missions that we have. There's a lot of payloads on there, intelligent payloads that can be used for space domain awareness applications. And the spacecraft themselves, through their formation flying activities, form a really interesting target to trial and test different sensors and algorithms to see how we can detect things in orbit. Most of the data we've collected for this research, though, is from M2 Pathfinder, which is that little one up there, except my mouse isn't showing, the one that says Rocket Lab in the picture. So that's a smaller 3U CubeSat. So that's still operational. We still use it. It doesn't have as much kind of burden and load on it as the main M2 mission, which means it's free for us to play with as we wish. So we've been spinning it up and doing interesting things. Okay, so space domain awareness requires us to detect changes to objects in orbit and assess whether those changes pose a threat. And if we decide that those changes do pose a threat, we then need to figure out what we're going to do to try and mitigate those threats. Often we think about space domain awareness as meaning ground-based sensors trying to predict the trajectory of objects in space, or basically that blue line that you see in the schematic there. That's only part of the story, though. That means that you've understood where a spacecraft or a satellite came from and where it's going to in the future. If we want to really understand what's happening operationally with that object, then we need a richer base of knowledge to help us understand what's going on. So what our research stream here focuses on is trying to extract the pointing behavior from satellites using our ground-based sensors. And that's important because there's only so much you can tell from where a satellite's been and where it's going. The sorts of information you might be able to extract if you're able to identify that pointing behavior is whether an object in space was in a nice controlled attitude and then has started to tumble, so maybe an operator's lost control. Maybe it was pointing its solar rays at the sun for a while and now it's pointing its sensors down towards the Earth. All of that can help us to understand, you know, whether it's a controlled or an uncontrolled object, or whether it's changed its mode of operation, and that can help inform the decisions that need to be made. All of the research I'll present today is based on using our ground-based sensors, but we certainly have ambitions to take the research that we're doing here and try to actually apply it to the spacecraft that we've got on orbit. So we've got a range of optical and RF payloads on board the M2 spacecraft, and all of those could potentially be repurposed through the sorts of software updates that Sam was just talking about to perform different missions. So how do we go around collecting our data to do this? For this work, we have used the Falcon Telescope Network. That is a run out of the US Air Force Academy in Colorado. It's a network of 12 half-meter Raven-class telescopes. We're very fortunate to have one of those nodes on our campus here in Canberra. We would like to acknowledge and say a big thank you to Francis Chun from the U.S. Air Force Academy for all their help and support in providing us with the network and helping us operate those. And we've done a lot of data collection with those sensors, starting with starting with the Buccaneer risk mitigation mission back in 2016 or so. These telescopes, they can be used to track everywhere from LEO to MEO to GEO. Tracking objects in low Earth orbit is considerably trickier than tracking objects in GEO because they move across the sky quite fast. So keeping them within the field of view is not necessarily an easy thing to do. And Dr. Steve Gailey, who spoke earlier, has really been leading the effort in extracting these observations. Another big piece of the puzzle to help us do this research is modeling and simulation. So Dr. Chris Capon, who was scheduled to give the talk today, he's developed a simulation tool called Rayman. That is based on some of the latest GPU hardware, so that's graphical processing unit hardware, using these ray tracing units. And what that allows us to do is to simulate in quite high fidelity how light reflects off objects in space and is captured by the telescope. So what we can do is supply a fairly realistic a CAD model into the simulation framework. We can assign different materials to those surfaces, and through this ray tracing methodology, we're able to simulate how the light reflects off those surfaces, possibly reflecting into other surfaces and back to the sensor. And on top of all of that, we can simulate the orbit that it flies through, so we get all of the relative angles from the sun to the sensor. Okay, so what is it we're actually trying to do? So with the optical telescopes that we have, we collect light curves on objects that we observe in the space environment. Satellites are quite small, and in low Earth orbit, they're anywhere from 500 kilometers to 2,000 kilometers away, or if you're looking at objects in GEO, then it's 40,000 kilometers away. So they're not resolved images that you get on your telescope. What you get is a little blob of light, and if you look in that very bottom right-hand corner frame, that is an actual image, and you'll see kind of towards the top left corner, it looks like a star, but that is actually a satellite. I think it's the M2 Pathfinder satellite. So that is the data that we get from the telescope. And what we're trying to do is extract out the change in brightness as it passes overhead, and from that change in brightness, understand what the pointing behavior of that spacecraft was. It's not a particularly easy thing to do because you don't have a whole lot of information to go on. And that is why we need to use a modeling and simulation plus a machine learning framework over the top, plus a whole lot of data collected over a long period of time to be able to do this work. The graph that you see on the left there is an example of a light curve that we have collected for one pass over one of the Falcon telescopes. You'll see there's a big big spike up there. That's essentially a glint off the spacecraft as it passes over. So it's a little bit like using a mirror to try and signal an aircraft that flies over. If you get the angle just right, you'll get a very strong return compared to the more diffuse reflections that you get. This particular image was for a very low body rate, so the spacecraft was not spinning very fast. And you got kind of one glint in the pass. As they start to spin faster, or you've got more complex pointing behavior, then you get a number of different spikes in there. And it's that signature of peaks and troughs that you try to unravel to tell us information about what is happening. The image in the schematic in the bottom right is perhaps a little difficult to interpret to begin with. So the very dark line, that is the surface of the Earth. The dotted line is the path of the satellite. And we've got an observer down there. That is basically the telescope location. And the other black dot is the satellite. So as the satellite passes overhead, you get quite a lot of effects that you have to account for. So the distance between the telescope and the satellite changes significantly during that pass. For a typical a LEO satellite, it's maybe 2,500 kilometers away when it pops over the horizon, and then as it screams overhead, it's maybe 500 kilometers away. So you get a big change in brightness due to the that distance. And you also get a significant change due to the angle between the sun and the observer and the satellite. The materials of the spacecraft, you know, whether it's shiny or whether it's dull, also affect the return you get. So some faces of a satellite will have very shiny solar panels, other might have a much more matte effect from the bare metal. So here's an example of some of the results that you get from the simulation tool. This is for the BRMM a satellite, and you can see for different angles you get different light maps. David's standing up, so I will quickly move on. And here's a result from the simulation. So this is tumbling M2 Pathfinder satellite. You see it kind of flashes a bit like a lighthouse. On the right here, we have got some measured data plus the simulated data, and the peaks line up to a certain extent, but a lot of work that we have ahead is really trying to calibrate how well we can simulate the data from the spacecraft. And one final thing I'll leave you with is that we're not only doing this in the optical with optical telescopes, we're also looking to do the analog with our radio frequency approaches. So measuring signal to noise ratio changes can also give us very similar effects of peaks and troughs due to spin rates. And I will finish with the machine learning slide. We're just getting into that now. The very good thing about having a simulation framework is that we can generate lots and lots of data, lots of different cases, and feed that into machine learning framework. And through that machine learning framework, we hope to derive models that will be able to look at the real light curves and unveil that pointing behavior. So I will leave it there. Thank you.
So this is very interesting. So taking the light curves and back inferring the motion of the space object. So what'll be like, if you sort of crack that difficult nut, as you said, what'll be the outcome of that, the application and the benefit that will be derived from that?
Hey, so it's really about characterizing that on-orbit behavior. So, for example, say you've got another nation's satellite comes close to your satellite and then moves away again. Maybe the position of that spacecraft hasn't actually changed, but if you can then detect that it started to tumble, well, that would reveal some information that something has occurred in that event. Likewise, if you're looking at someone else's satellite, so say it's an ISR satellite, and you detect that there are changes in that pointing behavior, that can help you to infer maybe what that spacecraft's doing. So it's really about trying to get into the intent behind the operations and trying to figure out, you know, how much control does someone have of that spacecraft, and has their operation of that spacecraft changed?
Thank you for being part of the Air and Space Power Center's 2022 Air and Space Power Conference, which was proudly sponsored by principal sponsor Boeing, major sponsors L3Harris, Rolls-Royce, and Lockheed Martin. If you are looking to consume, contest, or contribute to airspace power, please visit www.airpower.airforce.gov.au.